Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
And good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour. It is Jonna Spilbor. It is Carol Pesci. It is myself. You can call me Frankenberry, and we've got another show for you today. And we are going to get into something we haven't heard here. And we've had a lot of folks on this show talk about self-help type things, but today we're going to find out exactly what flow dreaming is.
Yes, we are. And I am fascinated because, Frankenberry, you know that Carol and I are, we're semi-woo-woo, right?
Like, we're not woo-woos.
Yes, you're being kind to yourselves, but yes, semi-woo-woo.
We're semi-woo-woo. We can, you know, get into these concepts and, you know, try to learn about stuff that maybe you don't do on a regular basis, but we semi-woo-woos are open to that kind of thing. And just by accident, I found today's guest. I can't even remember what I was searching for, but I found her and I'm like, wow, this sounds really cool. And then it got even cooler because I started downloading some of her woo-woo stuff. And we're going to talk all about it today because she created a thing called flow dreaming, which is sort of a way of meditating, which is great for a gal like me because it's not like the meditation that we all sort of know and I used to avoid. This is a different form of meditation. I'm going to save the best for her, but we're going to be talking with Summer McStravick. She is the creator of Flow Dreaming in all of its iterations, the books, the podcasts, the programs, and she's going to join us here this morning on the show.
And just what is the desired outcome of flow dreaming? What's it supposed to do for you?
It will help you manifest basically anything that your heart desires, whether it could be financial, it could be health, it could be relationships, all the things that we meditate for, that we spend time, you know, woo-wooing ourselves to bring closer to us. She's
clean carpets, that kind of thing.
Well, yes. funny you
yes.
mentioned that because
we need some help. Frank Burr needs help.
Yeah, well, yes, there's a lot of help that I could use.
Well, let's set the stage real quick because we were going to talk about a couple of things, but Frankenberry showed up this morning with a real doozy of a story, and he does need help. And so we're going to give it to him. And that is Frankenberry. Now, we normally don't like to talk about toenail problems on the air. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even know how you use the word normally in that, you know, in that sentence. But yeah, no, we don't talk about them at all, Jonna.
And we don't have to gross people out with the details. Let's just say.
Right.
And you had an issue with the toenail.
Right. Plus, I know Jonna has issues in general with like the whole, with like, you know,
bodily fluid.
Yeah, the body and stuff and things that can come of it and from it and that kind of thing. So
just saying toenail, you guys, like I just did it twice now and I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. I can see you with the little, you know, cartoonish hand waves and stuff going, oh, damn it. He said toenail. Ah.
You're going to have to provide some of the gross details for the people listening to get a full picture of what exactly happened.
Well, no, what it was, and it's this week, and this is just kind of the way that my brain works. And I realized it this weekend because, you know, I'm comfortable. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just sitting in front of the computer. I'm writing some new stories and I'm a very, very happy, comfortable dude. Okay, me and my two cats, my sister and the boys, my nephews, they're upstairs. Everybody's good. And but recently I had gotten a crack in my right foot toenail. And I noticed that it was kind of a little flappy, I guess you could say. I could probably try to cut it off, but then I'd be missing half a toenail, and I didn't want to do that. But it also looked easy, Jonna. Easy, Jonna. Jonna, please just a bite on a stick or something.
That was Carol.
That was me. Yes.
Okay.
That was
all right. So But it also looked like it was starting to grow out. you know, away from the crack. And I was like, all right, that's cool. I'm just going to let it be. And then as I'm working, I suddenly, you know, I got up and I sat down on the edge of the bed. And then I suddenly looked underneath my computer, you know, at the, you know, the plastic mat that you have underneath there. And I looked down at my rug, which is underneath my nightstand. And I went, wow, that's a lot of blood. I don't recall losing blood like that.
Oh.
And then I realized that it was my toe and the nail had fallen off in my sock. But the very first thing was not, all right, I need to, you know, band-aid this up. I need to wrap it up. I need to make sure it's okay. My very first thought was, well, what am I going to do with this mess and the rug? Because now if I have to get a new rug, I've got to move the whole computer desk and I've got to move my nightstand and I've got to move my chairs and take all the stuff off the desk, possibly even empty the drawers and take that steamer trunk. That's going to have to be moved. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of work that I just don't really want to do right now. And then I said, well, what if I just clean the rug? Now, wiping off the plastic mat, not going to be an issue cleaning the rug. But then I thought, I can't clean the rug because I am not going to Google how to clean bloodstains out of a carpet. Because that's red flag stuff. So then I was just kind of stuck. I didn't know what to do at all. Except, you know, grab a couple of Band-Aids and, you know, hold my foot in the air.
I would have been too dumb. I would have searched it and then, like, they would have been pulling outside with a black sedan and stalking me for a few weeks.
Exactly. And that's where my brain went. I went, no, we're not going there. Okay. Because I probably already have enough red flags with being a really single, solitary dude in the first place, you know? So, but John, are you
okay? So did you clean it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I went upstairs okay. And I walked on my heel and I tried not to.
And you said to your nephews, why don't you do me a favor and Google how to get blood out of my
Yeah, exactly. Can you guys raise a red flag for yourselves instead of me, please? That would be kind of nice. I'll be in the bathroom with my foot in the shower.
Did you got to stain out?
Oh, no, I haven't tried that yet. That's work.
Oh, wait.
I mean, I'll break out some cleaning, you know, some cleaning solution and possibly just lay a towel over it or, you know, a dish rag or something. Look, if I don't see it, it's not there.
Oh, but
so I can do
good
that.
Good plan.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Again, this is the way my mind works.
Well, you know what? I think it's funny that your mind worked in the sense that you didn't want to have the FBI knocking down your door for Googling how do you get bloodstains out of carpet, which is better than how do you roll a body up in a carpet. It's better than Googling bloodstains, duct tape, shovels.
Does duct tape stick to carpet?
Yes, exactly. You know, and hell, I've got a blog that has the word attic in the title. I don't want to go anywhere close to any of this.
But should we back up for a minute if we're going to talk about how your brain works? Frankenberry, because let's go back to when you first noticed the toe. Yes, and how you decided consciously, you gave it thought. Carol, he gave it thought and said, I got this messed up toe and I'm just gonna let it be, as opposed to handling that ish.
What am I gonna do with handling it? I told you I couldn't really cut the thing off.
As opposed to Jonna would have called 911 and been transported by ambulance, because surely...
Yeah, she'd be wearing a boot out in court, and oh my God.
I would have been transported by ambulance to the nail salon, where I would have received pampering and sympathy while they fixed the toe, you see.
Now, first of all, this wasn't just, when I say a crack, this wasn't like just at the end of the toe. No, this was a crack that went down the whole nail, Jonna. Okay, so the growing out was all it could do.
Wait, ready, Carol? 1, 2, 3. All right. So
yes, but you would be a-okay fine with presenting that to some woman in a nail salon. That's just wrong.
I showed up by ambulance. Yes, I would. So you are now, as we sit here today, you are still
toenailless.
You're toeless and living with a blood stain where your feet have to go quite frequently, because that's where you do your best creative writing. Yes,
That is correct. And also,
I think you should do a blog post about it.
Yeah. Also a blood stain where I stand up to get out of bed.
Well, you know, I mean, if anything were to happen, like let's say something were to happen and the FBI or whoever had to come and do a little luminol test at your sister's house, having nothing to do with you, you're going to get, you know, fingered as a possible culprit. Because you have blood.
I am.
Until they see that it matches his own blood.
Oh, good point.
Very good point. Yes, very good point. Though I'm a little bit more concerned with them just showing up and not because of me, because if they're showing up not because of me, they're either showing up because of one of the five cats or my sister and my nephews.
Right. What if your nephews, you know, do something that get the ire of the FBI? Can I just tell you, so I'll give you a little FBI, quick FBI story, which you may have shared
sure.
somewhere along the line. But they don't fool around, because there was so years ago, I was representing a guy who worked for the Navy on a Navy boat. And he was accused of embezzling the money. Like, he was in charge of payroll and he was accused of embezzling the money. Not smart. That's kind of a big deal. And he managed to go AWOL off the boat and disappear after he hired me to represent him. So every once in a while, this guy would call my office at the time, which was this little room in this little building in San Diego. And he would call from time to time and be like, "You got to come back." And he wouldn't tell me where he was, and I wouldn't ask because I didn't want to know. And anyway, one time after one of those phone calls, I no sooner hung up the phone than three gigantic FBI goons burst through my little office door in this little storefront in San Diego. Carol, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Sunglasses, the whole nine. Huge guys. Huge, I tell ya. And they had been, I mean, which you're not supposed to do, but they obviously were monitoring my calls, which is
right.
Burst through my door and then tried to shake me down because they didn't believe that I didn't know where he was. And in true Jonna form, I forgot to be scared and just said, "You three need to get the hell out of my office."
Oh, my God.
Yep.
You never told us that story.
I never told you that story. I love that story. I can still see him clear as day in front of my face. Three giant goons with the sun.
They were not only listening, they were right out front waiting for him to call you.
Could have been in the, could have been in the lobby. I mean, I was three stories up and I don't know. They must have been right outside my door because they did not have time to go up three flights of stairs. Literally.
Wow.
Yes. So they don't fool around. So by the time this show airs, Frank and Barry, you might expect a visit because this, you know, they might think you're covering up for a little, a little something.
Okay. All right. I will have to steel myself against the possibilities of three very bulky men showing up at the house and confusing my sister.
Or the alternative, you might have some three very bulky women showing up with buckets of water and some sponges to help you clean that crap up.
That's more likely.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Wow.
So
coincident.
All right. So this was gripping, but I'm done talking about Frankenberry's toe.
I am as well.
Okay.
Why are you here as Pea Kitty today?
No. So because my life revolves around cats now, as you know, and I was making a joke to myself and to you guys, because in the news, as we record this show this week, brand new in the news is all this salacious details about P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Sean Diddy Combs. You know who he is. And so he's all in the news. I'm doing some TV on it later today. And it just so happened that as this is breaking in the news, the now seven, I'm not going to say that too loud, cats that are living indoors while I try to relocate at least half of them, which is hard to do since it's an odd number of cats, were being very romantic with each other. Like, very romantic.
Aren't they all girls?
One boy. There's one boy. Everybody's fixed except for one female. So six of them are fixed. One of them's a boy. One of them is an unfixed female. And they all gathered around, and I caught them on my cat camera. They were getting all kitty romantic with each other.
Well, Jonna, stop using the word romantic. They were probably just cleaning each other and getting all cuddly and stuff. There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. That's exactly what they were doing.
Right.
But it just happens with P. Diddy in the news for all the wrong reasons, all of his parties and such. I just said, wouldn't it be funny, instead of P. Diddy, I come on as P. Kitty, because that's my connection.
Okay.
Understood. And we'll just leave it at that.
It was funny. Let's put it this way. It was funny when I was typing it. I'm like, P. Kitty.
Hey, I do that all the time.
So you have one unfixed female and one unneutered male?
No. I have six fixed and only one not, and she's a female, and she's horrendous. Horrendous.
Oh, okay. Is that Quinn the murderess?
Yep. Can't get near. Bane of my existence. Anyway, okay, so...
Yeah, so that cat doesn't go with the flow like the rest of them.
Oh, God.
And that's all I got.
Yeah, I know.
No, that was great. That was great.
Because, Jonna was just going to straight up introduce, you know, that. She That's where she was, so...
I was. Again, I saved the day.
Yes.
You did, and you did it very well. On that, Sagu, as a reminder, when we come back from this break, we are going to be speaking with Summer McStravick. She calls herself a little bit woo-woo, but I think she's more than a little bit woo-woo. And she's going to talk to us about this fascinating concept called flow dreaming, which is a way to manifest all the things you want to you. I will let her explain it, but I got to tell you, I've stuck my toe in that flow dreaming ocean and I'm already loving it. So when we come back, we are going to be talking flow dreaming.
All right. Just make sure you pull your foot back and you're on some plastic. We'll have her up next right here. It is Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself. This is Happy Hour and we'll be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back, everyone, to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore, Carol Pesci, some dude. And it's time now to get to our guest for today. And we are going to find out what Summer McStravick has to say about flow dreaming.
Guys, I am so excited to have this guest on with us today. I'm so excited for her to tell you all about the concept that she, invented. For lack of a better word. So without further ado, we are on the line with Summer McStravick, who has been practicing. Now, here's the concept. Flow dreaming, a technique for almost a surreal level of manifesting and healing and anything that you want to call to you. This is the way to do it. And she pioneered this concept almost 25 years ago. Summer is, and I love this too, part woo, part science, part mom, part rebel, part artist, and part CEO. Her signature technique, which as mentioned is flow dreaming, is an energy activation for manifesting, healing, and growing inner emotional strength. Her books and podcasts have been used worldwide to transform people's inner emotional landscapes as well as their external lives. Now, get this. She previously worked for who? Louise Hay, who everybody knows is the mother of all this woo-woo, and also created Hay House Radio. And now her career has gone to a whole new height. She is on with us. Summer, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh, thanks, Jonna. It's a delight to be here with you guys. That's an impressive bio. I don't even recognize myself.
I want to tell you, you are really impressive because, and I'll tell you this, I found you by accident, but I really not by accident, because I think when I start looking for guests and, you know, topics that I think will be compelling for our listeners, I just start searching stuff. And I think the universe really, really stuck us together on this one, because what I've been using some of your techniques, just started using it. I'm a novice and I am already hooked. So let's share this with our listeners. Why don't we start with your backstory and then we want to talk about what the heck is flow dreaming?
Yeah, sure. My backstory, really, really condensed. I spent about a decade working for the big publishing company called Hay House, which of course was Louise Hay's company. Yep. While there, I was quietly doing my own, I'd call it my own manifesting practice. At the same time, my job was to create and produce all of the online, anything online at that point. And online was still a new quote thing. Yeah. So webinars, online radio, Hay House Radio, books on quote books on tape, really books on CD back then, which eventually led to podcasting. So I got to work with some world-class people, Dr. Wayne Dyer, co-hosted with him for 5 years.
Wow.
And meanwhile, I was being quietly skilled up. I think the universe was giving me an MBA in what it takes to go out there and share something that you weren't wasn't really prepared to do. And that ended up being my own quiet little practice that eventually blew up with a couple of books and my own career, which I've now been teaching for the last 15 years. And that is, of course, flow dreaming.
Which is crazy because we were talking earlier in the show that Carol and I, not so much Frankenberry, but Carol and I are semi woo woo. We are open to all these concepts. We read a lot of self-help. And I had never heard of flow dreaming, which surprises me. So why not? Let's introduce our listeners to that. What exactly is flow dreaming?
Yeah. So one of the things that I always struggled with is back in the day and even today is that all your typical forms of spiritual practice, to me, never really went anywhere. How else to say it? It never reached that sort of divine space, that larger space, that connected space where I felt that I was really heard and really being effective. So I look at life as having a physical level and a non-physical level. You can see it like the outside physical body, and then the interior non-physical body. And like everything that has duality, I'm going to go deep for a second here. You know, you've got light and you've dark, you've got forward and you've got backward, you've got up and down, you've got physical, you've got non-physical. Well, most of us completely dismiss the physical, non-physical, unless we're doing a specific spiritual practice, meditation or gratitude practice or prayer even. Mm-hmm. But my goal has always been to kind of make a stamp on things, to suggest to my future, hey, this is who I want to become. These are the things I want to encounter in my life. And I don't want it just being some kind of random thing where I wake up in the morning and whatever falls into my lap for the day is what I get. I should have some say in this. So the practice of flow dreaming involves not meditation, not self-hypnosis, not positive affirmations, none of the things that we've all been taught. Instead, we go into this really deeply connected flow state, which is a recognized psychological state pioneered by Dr. Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, if anybody's ever heard of flow. In that state, we create these really robust emotions, like feelings. And a big part of my work is teaching people the incredible value of their emotions and that they're not something that you have to medicate away or, you know, try to always fix in therapy, that they're incredibly powerful tools. So you go into this flow state, you're using these powerful emotions. And the last question is, what do you do there? How do you get there? Well, you daydream your way there. So my mind is way too busy and active and ADHD-ish to meditate. This is a perfect practice. I go.
You are Jonna's sister from another mister.
Yep. Yeah. So, people who love to read, if you ever can sink into a novel or a book, like this is for you, you get into this space and you start communicating and crafting specific emotional states inside yourself. The more you do this, and if you do it every day, eventually it changes you. And eventually it can be as soon as tomorrow, and it can be a long game. I've been doing it for 20 years. My life around me seems to adjust to the energetic being, the person that I'm actually crafting inside. I liken it to going to a spiritual gym. I do it every day. My energetic self strengthens, magnifies, becomes a brilliant bonfire in my life that the world has to be lit by. And I'll stop because I could just keep going in a nutshell.
No, this is absolutely fascinating. And it brings up a couple, like I have a million questions. And I do agree that you're right. Like anybody who wants to self-actualize or improve their lives in any way, shape or form, all the things, the affirmations, the meditation, traditional meditation, etc. Not everything is going to work for everybody. It's not one size fits all. And one of the things I think I'm loving about this flow dreaming is that this might be my thing. This might be the thing because I do affirmations all day long. I've tried to meditate, can't really do it. Some of the guided meditations are better because at least I can listen to, like, it's like being in school. Like, okay, now do this. Now think about this. So it's different than just sort of clearing your mind. And is this the type of thing, or if at its core, can we change our lives inside, outside by manipulating all the energy, for lack of a better word? And is this a technique that helps us do that? Or am I off?
No, that's like a core idea around manifesting, especially, you know, today. I don't look at it like I'm energetically out there tweaking and you know, messing with the rest of the world. I look at it like I have control over one domain, and that is myself. That is my perception. That is the being that moves through every moment of my day. And that is the one thing that I have absolute, I could say, power within. I don't necessarily have power over what you're going to say next or what the rest of my day will look like. And as I flow through time and space, all the other elements that'll come my way. However, if I am able to go in and grow certain energetic and emotional and expectations, it's, you know, it really kind of merges with psychology quite a bit here. But if I can change or expand certain feelings, emotions, expectations, get rid of this lack thinking, scarcity thinking, if I can carve and shape my own inner being, then I literally become more of whatever it is I'm practicing. So example, let's say today I say, because we have the autumn equinox is coming up, and last night we had this amazing super moon. It may be past this, but by the time you air this, I don't know, but the energies are about harvest. So maybe what I'll do is go into my flow and I'll say, I am receiving this huge, bountiful harvest in my life. All the things that I've planted, all the things that I've done are paying off like a slot machine in a casino on overdrive. It is pouring into me. I'm receiving it. It is entering my life, my being, my hands, my ability, my bank account. It's in me. So the very moment that I just said those words, I created an energy. I created a feeling. I created an expectation, and I created a deep communication, because now that is part of me. And to go and talk about souls for a second, we often think the soul is the thing we get judged at after death. And, you know, it's just kind of hanging around somewhere out there. I don't know. For me, my energetic self, my soul is constantly being filled with the information I'm putting into it. I don't like to let the outside world dictate what gets put into me by responding and responding and responding to everything. So I do this practice called pre-sponding, and that's part of flow dreaming. What we just did is I pre-sponded, or I pre-acted to the world, and I said, I'm really abundant, and I have this, and I am this. Now that information is locked inside me, locked inside my energetic self, my soul self, forever. If I do this every day, I grow and expand on this energy inside of myself. If I do that every day, the world outside me has to shift what it's encountering, because I'm literally changing inside. So if the outside world now has to match me, and believe me, the outside world and the inside world, it's always trying to create a state of equilibrium, right? Mm-hmm. It is trying to match me. So it has to change the kind of things that are happening and available to me outside. That for me is the principle of manifesting. It's not a gimmicky thing. It's actually a very long-term, game-changing way of approaching life and kind of forcing life's hand in a way to match what I am showing it, as opposed to us, me, or most people always struggling to match or pull what they can from life. It's a big concept. I hope I was able to drill it into something small that you could understand.
I totally understand it. I totally get it. Can you, Summer, give us an example or 10
yeah.
of things you've manifested or changes you've experienced, either yourself or people who practice what you've taught them?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that I've worked on a lot in my life is getting beyond fear, as well as going big. Those are the two areas that I love to play in. What I mean by getting beyond fear is there was a point in my life, I don't know, about 15 years ago now, when I realized that everything I wanted was really being blocked by just one thing. I had a fear around some aspect of it. I can't do it. They'll never want it. I'm unworthy of it. Who do I think I am trying to do this or be this? Why do I think I should have all this money? Shouldn't somebody else have it, more deserving than me or more capable or intelligent? Every one of those thoughts drilled down is, I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'll be told no. I'm afraid I'll be rejected. I'll be afraid I'll fail. I'm afraid I'll lose money. And I realized that this one emotion is getting in my way. What happens if I systematically now go ahead and flow dream and communicate with all that is, I want to lose as much of this fear as I can. So I began a practice where every day, if I felt something I was afraid of, I reversed it. I'm not afraid of you. I embrace you. I don't want to do you. Guess what? I'm going to do you now. I don't want to make that phone call. Oh, damn. Or darn, I have to make that phone call. Whatever it was, by doing that, it began to reshape a lot of things inside me. It actually catapulted me into the greatest career growth I have ever seen. Imagine if you could walk out on a stage of 2,000 people and just begin talking because you had no fear. Imagine if you could walk up to your employer and say, look, I'm really valuable here and I'm not feeling that, you know, that value is being seen. That's getting beyond fear. Every one of those results in something coming back to you. Either your employer says, well, then goodbye, you're fired, which is great because then you go find a company that says, I see you and I match you. You know, let's give you more. Or you get what you're actually asking for. So I saw incredible exponential growth in my company. I went through cancer actually within a year or two of embarking on this. I use the same practice. Cancer, what happens if I'm not afraid of you? Which is something that happens to a lot of cancer survivors. They get into this deep, you know, existential dread for years after, right? Because they never say you're cured. They always say remission. What if I'm not afraid of you? And so that for me was a huge remodel in my life. But you can pick anything you want. I know people who have done the literal jackpot. I got an email from a gal who said, I did your flow dreaming for more money. I walked into a casino. I walked out with 1.2 million. And I said, right, send me an image of the check. And she did. She emailed it to me. I put her up on my website. It's unbelievable. It's kind of like whatever you have least resistance for, you know, start there and start seeing those results.
So Summer, one of the things I know that I struggle with, and I'm going to assume other people do too. So there's a chasm between saying that, like, so saying I'm not afraid of you, you know, whatever the situation, say I'm not afraid of you, boss, and actually not being afraid of that thing, right? So there's that chasm. Does flow dreaming fill that in? Because you can say all day long, okay, I'm going to face my fear. I'm not afraid of this. I'm not afraid to make the call. I'm not afraid to change locations or whatever. But if you're not really feeling it, then you're not going to actually do the thing that's going to bring about the change. So how do you get through that? How do you bridge that gap, I guess? Is that what flow dreaming will do?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the old problem with manifesting in general. A lot of people just close their eyes and they say, oh, all these great things happen. And then they open their eyes and they do absolutely nothing about it. Right. It's more of a wishful, dreamy, I wish I were this kind of being. So I break it into two categories, the way that we move through life. There is action and then there is pre-action, physical action and non-physical action. If you're only saying things to yourself like, I feel confident and worthy and strong, and you're not doing anything to, you know, increase that, you're not actually physically also supporting that by doing things that can increase your sense of bravery or confidence, then you're only working one half of the equation. I look at it like, if you want to run, you use both legs. Otherwise, you're just hopping. You're not going to get far. And that's what a lot of us do. On the other hand, a lot of super overdriven high achievers, they just do action, action, action. They never stop and check in about where they're going. They just think, if I do more, I'll get more. The non-physical aspect of it, the internal energetic leadership is absent or missing. And they end up burned out. They end up asking themselves, is this all there is? Why don't I feel fulfilled? Why is it always a moving horizon? So these two parts of ourselves have to be equally loved and attended to. Furthermore, you can't just say things to yourself. This is the emotional depth of the practice. You practice feelings about things in your life that you don't have any reason or rationale to feel those feelings about. So most of us, we go around life waiting for other people to give us permission to feel something. For instance, I want to feel super abundant. I have all my needs met. I have safety and security. I've got money. I'm rewarded. Most people will wait for things in their life. I got a raise. Now I feel that way. I have money in the bank account. Now I feel that way. We're waiting for all of these external things, life, to give you permission. Thing is with life, doesn't care. Life is just all over the place. Life is just a supermarket of stuff. Maybe it'll give you that. Maybe it won't. Maybe it'll give you some peanut butter, or maybe it'll give you some pickles. I don't know. So we instead say to life, look, you can give me these things, but I want to tell you exactly what I'm giving you. I'm going to give you a template for them, a blueprint. Here's what I want. So So when I'm going and I'm feeling the abundance, I am this abundance. I don't look for anything else in my life that gives me permission to feel that because I may not have it yet. Same is true for like a relationship or a fit body or whatever it may be. I feel incredibly fit. I feel strong. I feel healthy. My body is overflowing with healing and energy and zest. So I practice feeling that. And sometimes it can be hard because we keep waiting for things to give us permission to feel that way or a reason. And I say, skip the reason, reverse that, put the cart before the horse. Okay. I feel that. I feel that. I feel that. Life eventually says, this woman is just pouring out all these feelings of being fit and comfortable in herself and her being. Let's figure out how to align to that. And that's where I get into those woo-woo words like alignment and so forth. But that's what life does. It aligns to your thinking. It aligns to your expectations. And most of the time, our expectations are kind of crummy. It's, I'm not going to get what I need, or it's going to be a hard day, or I'm dreading this phone call. I'm dreading this, you know, having to work late. And what do we experience? All the things that uphold and make our dread be right and correct. So instead of feeling that, I'm saying feel something else. And that's how I approach it.
And that's a challenge for many people, especially if you're in the struggle. And I think each of us are, you know, we struggle at different times or different areas of our lives. And at times it can be all consuming, understandably. And we have a right to feel the way we feel and be afraid of the things we're afraid of. And it's a challenge, but it's like the magic wand to say, okay, this is what I'm facing right now. However, this is what I prefer. This is what I envision. And we've now have quantum physics and quantum energy and experiments that now prove, there's Nobel Prize winning physicists that prove everything is composed of energy in the universe. Everything, even something, a solid rock you think is not moving, it's pulsating with energy. And when we can shift our energy, and you are giving us a tool to do that, things around us have to align to that. Right?
Absolutely, Carol. In fact, my first book I did called Flow Dreaming. I did a lot of research around this because I wanted to know that this was grounded in some form of science. So yeah. I actually interviewed quite a few physicists, holistic physicists like Fred Allen Wolf, Dr. Dean Radin. I interviewed Lynn Target. I mispronounced her name.
The field, right?
Yeah, the field.
Lynn McTaggart.
McTaggart. Yes, McTaggart. Yeah. It's still early here in San Diego. Target, nope. McTaggart.
I gotcha.
And because I was looking for, if I am feeling this, I am literally creating something. Most of us think our emotions and thoughts are fleeting and they disappear and they go away. Everything we create energetically, I like to think of it as getting filed away in this big universal filing cabinet of ourself. It becomes stuffed with our feelings and our beliefs. It becomes literally who we are, what we see, what we ingest, what we create, what we experience. So if I am slowly and subtly reshaping this filing cabinet of myself with these new and different feelings, when I am moving through space and time and encountering my next few moments, life is continually reading from me. I mean, think about like your cells, right? They're reading from the double helix inside them. Everything is reading an instruction manual from something. So I am reading from this deeper part of myself I'm working on. Now, to go back to what you said for a minute about the seeming contradiction, the outside is not matching the inside. I'm trying to feel great. My life is not great. Am I faking it? Like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, look, your life is what you've already made, right? You planted those crops last season. Yeah, they're here. You can't ignore them. You have to deal with them, but you have the moment right now to figure out, how do I want to, you know, harvest this thing that I created last year, whether it's a marriage or a job or a health condition or a lack of purpose. You've got it. Life is begging you right now, do something with me. It doesn't matter what, if it's a good thing or a bad thing, it's begging you. I'm here. You made me. You made me to do something with me. What do you want to do? And then I get to choose. Well, I want to get rid of you. I don't want you anymore. Or I want to change you into something else. I want to replace you. I want to have more of you. So that's where we go in and start using these feelings. We never practice denial. If you practice the emotion of denial, what you're creating in life is more denial. So I always look at my life bald in the face and say, okay, I've got some broken pieces over here. What's happened? And what do you need from me right now? And that's one of the best questions to start with when you're, quote, manifesting or creating. Not how can I force my life to give me something, but instead, life, something is not working here. What do you need from me? Because until I give it to you, you're probably just going to keep waving your hand and firing off that fire alarm. What do you need? And then we go from there.
That is awesome. Summer, we could talk about this forever, but I know on your website, you have ways that you can help teach people how to do this, how to do flow dreaming, how to better themselves. So what would be the first step? So if our listeners want to find you and they want to learn more about this and get into, say, the program, what's the first step that they should take?
Yeah. So, flow dreaming is at heart an emotional energetic practice, right? Some people think of it more like an energy activation than meditation. Mm-hmm. If I'm talking to a therapist, they call it emotional, or I call it to be a little more legit sounding, emotional reconditioning, because the practice works on your emotional self, creating new emotional pathways. It also works on your energetic or soul self, creating new energy pathways and opportunities. So if you go to my website, Flow Dreaming, now that's flow with an F, like Frank, you'll find I think I've got like 350 different recorded flow dreams. These are audios, and they're on a bazillion different topics. Practical things like I need a new house or I want a raise, to things that are really deep inside you, like I'm going to increase my understanding of confidence and how confidence is something that I can embody. So you get to pick whatever you want to work on, healing, manifesting, and so on. I suggest they get a playlist, start working with it. If you want to learn more, I have a YouTube channel called Flow Dreaming, where I walk people through an 8-part free training on how to do this practice. And I have a podcast called Flow Dreaming as well. Those are probably the best places to start. I give people a couple of free ones to start with if they come to my website, or they get the app that's on the phone. I've been very busy over 20 years, if you can't tell.
Wow. Yes.
So get the app or just start listening. I mean, I teach the whole process for free, and I always have. I have other classes and a mastermind for people who really want to get in and start learning and really change and shift. And that's the next step. You know, once you figure out that this is working for me or this feels really good, it's a bubble bath for your mind, is what I always say. And for a lot of us, it's a total game changer. And we think, how come spirituality always seems so bland and blah and hard, and I couldn't ever feel it? And then I found this, and I feel like I'm swimming in a giant universal bubble bath of, you know, good feelings. That's like, awesome. Welcome to my pool.
What so many people can use right now. And I will say, for those listening, I think your YouTube channel is a great place to start, because there's some free stuff, bite-sized pieces that they can start to learn how to get into the flow. And then they can take it from there, because you do offer so much. I love your online presence. So you really dialed it in. So
thank you.
I appreciate, and again, for people like me, and I know there are others out there, we're traditional, like, meditation just doesn't blow your hair back. This will. Flow dreaming will. So Summer, we really appreciate having you here today. This is an amazing concept. I think it's going to help a lot of people. And if people do want to get in touch with you, you also offer one-on-one, and they can simply go to flowdreaming.com, as you spelled out, flow, the traditional spelling, dreaming.com, and they can connect with you personally there.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Shauna. I love being here with you and Carol and Frank and Barry, and being able to speak really fast for the last half hour.
You
packed
great.
Try to show as much in, right?
And you did great. You packed a lot in the short period of time that we have, but this has been fantastic. Summer McStravick, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Thank you, Summer.
Yes, thank you very much, Summer, and you would make a good New Yorker with how fast you talk. We've still got more to come here, segment number 3. It is Happy Hour, Jonas Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and myself, and we will be right back, so don't go nowhere.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour. Here it's Jonna Spilborg. It is Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Frankenberry.
Hello. Frank and Toe.
Yeah, Frank and Toe. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So flow dreaming with Summer there, huh?
Very intriguing.
Guys, I am loving the whole concept. I'm loving the whole. This is going to be it. You'll see. Because you know I can't meditate. There's a whole lot of things. Positive affirmations. Yeah, okay. But this is it. This is my perfect fit. This is my size 7.5, but an 8 feels real good. It's it for me. I'm telling you.
I'm definitely. I pulled up a YouTube channel, so I'm going to be testing some out.
All right. Well, good luck to the two of you.
All right, you just concentrate on growing your toenail back. We got the rest.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Much appreciated.
Don't
keep up the calcium there, Frank.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
So
all right. Well, on that note, I'll send you some Band-Aids. But this is real fascinating. I urge you guys to go to her YouTube channel. And you know what I do? Carol, you stopped doing this a long time ago when you entered Carol's Big Bubble world. But I was slow to that concept. And I would wake up every morning and listen to the news and blah, blah, blah. Now when I get up, I listen to something that's helpful and spiritual and woo-woo instead of the news. And that just puts you in a better mood, to be honest.
And just think. You never thought that a chorus of cat meows would do that for you either, did you?
Frankenberry, I wonder what she really was dreaming of and trying to manifest that resulted in 7 cats. I'm going to ponder that till next week.
Yes, there you go. That is certainly a question.
All right, you two.
All right. Sounds good to Summer. Thank you for joining us again today and talking to us and explaining to us what flow dreaming is. And for Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci, I am that guy, the one you can call Frankenberry. And we'll be back again next week, same time, right here with more from Happy Hour. And until then, have yourselves a safe and good week.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.